So my bad for this week is that Jonas Donskoy has still not scored a goal.
Oh, wait. I think we have audio about Jonas.
Goodbye.
Hey now, boys and girls, welcome into show 71 of the Pucknologists here on Fieldtown USA. I am your host, AJ Strong. Joining me, as always, Rocket Backhander.
You wanted 71, you got 71. What else do you want from us?
Nice. Hockey Jerk.
We are 2 days away from playoffs. And needless to say, I'm excited.
Playoffs.
Oh my lord.
Hey now, remember to subscribe to the cast on SoundCloud or the podcast platform of your choice. If you're on iTunes, give us some love on there. And hey now, we're now on Spotify, so if that is your preferred platform, go check us out over there, hit that follow button, and subscribe to the YouTube channel to check out Teal Town After Dark, the only live and interactive Sharks post-game show on YouTube, going live after every single game. And feel free to leave a comment on any of those, and we do our best to answer, and hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, both of them, at Teal Town USA. So,
as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yes, let's do that hockey. The season is concluded, kids. Believe it or not. The Sharks went 3-8-1 in their final 12, not exactly lighting the world on fire. The Sharks, however, did go 2-1 over their last three, all the while giving up the goal in the first 5 minutes in each of those games. But they finished the season 49-27-9, good for 101 points, and will face the Vegas Knights in round one. So let's finish off the season that was the Sharks. Up for a twofer. Up in Western Canada, starting in Vancouver, pick up a 4-2 loss there. LeBanc is at least trending up in this one, but Jones would stop a mere 19 of 22, good for an .864 save percentage. However, the story here, of course, was the return of Joe Pavelski. Despite the Sharks' lackluster play, at least Joe came back.
Felt good to be back with the guys in the game. You know, it's one of those games. Jonah made some good saves along the way for us. We had a lot of good chances. You know, a number of chances in the slot. It's trying to figure out how you lose that game at times, but it's the way it's going right now. You know, I've a little perspective watching it, and, you know, it felt closer out there today for sure, a lot of parts of our game. But there's still, you know, there's still that winning hockey that we got to get to, and for some reason we haven't gotten over that hump lately.
I just like the part where Joe says something like, you know, oh, Jones made some good stops in this one. And I'm like, yeah, I remember both of them. But Jerk, I mean, what can you take out of the Vancouver game?
You know, this game for me was incredibly disappointing because I believe the Sharks had a lead going into the first intermission. Am I wrong in saying that?
No.
I kind of remember Vancouver getting on the board first. Sharks putting up two, and then, yeah, the wheels came off.
It's like I always say, and then what happened? But, no, nice to see Pavelski get a goal in his first game back. Obviously, it's the biggest concern when coming back from an injury is, are you rusty? Can you go at game speed? Although we know for Pavelski, game speed is not that high of a speed. But still, game speed regardless. And the Sharks looked like they were poised to reverse some of the bad feelings from the losing they had done lately, and then all of a sudden, to quote Puck Guy, did somebody say Vancouver? Because it was all Vancouver, it seemed, after that. And sort of a disappointing end to an otherwise good start to that game.
Yeah, they gave up the first one. But as you said, finished the first period on goals by LeBanc and Pavelski. Rocket, somebody has evidently said Vancouver.
Sharks had no business losing this game. I cannot express it any more succinctly than that. They had no business losing this game. And yet they did. They got up in some business that they shouldn't have been up in.
Business.
Yeah, and for that, I say shame on you.
Shame.
God. Shame.
Everything's going to be about Game of Thrones. Shame. So
go get a bell.
After moving out of Vancouver, they head over to the franchise that evidently no one wants to be a part of any longer, the Edmonton Oilers. Pick up a 3-2 victory. Aaron Dell getting the start in this one. Draisaitl provides the only goals for Edmonton, scoring twice up high over Dell's shoulder. And if you want to know about that one, hey, we spoke with Drew Remenda the day before this one, and he kind of broke down a lot of this, and it pretty much played out the way we all expected. Connor McDavid, unfortunately, wouldn't make break in this one. He would become McBroken in the next one. But, I mean, Rock, I don't know. It's going into that game, I couldn't get too excited because Edmonton is such a tire fire right now.
As an organization, they are a tire fire, and for the most part, they don't have the depth that they should. But the talent pieces that they have are like turbocharged talent pieces.
And in Bakersfield,
or in traction right now.
Well,
you know, it just is. It's a I hope that whoever guts that place and cleans it out just decides that they know a very strong vision of what they want to do to take it forward. Because right now, it just doesn't feel like anybody in the organization wants to put any sort of like ownership into the course of what happens to the team. So nobody's putting out like a clear plan of like, yeah, this is our rebuild. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're doing. Hang in there. This is what we're doing. It's just like, you know,
we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah. And that's, as a fan, that would be disheartening.
I can see that. Jerk, I mean, evidently Connor McDavid was injured in the final game, and there was video of him look like he was mouthing the word, "It's broken." And from what I understand, they've done MRI, and in fact, it's not broken, whatever the hell it was. But
his leg may not be broken, but I think his spirits are.
Yes, yes. Oh. So here's the idea. If Edmonton were to move McDavid, all hell would, you know, rain upon Rogers. So some speculation, what if they were to move Draisaitl to find, like, his value, do you think it would ever be higher in unbelievable amounts of, like, picks and prospects coming back in that?
I mean,
but of course, you need somebody in the front office to know what to do with those picks.
Right.
But
yeah. And I mean, will his value ever be higher? Probably not. But at the same time, I don't think it will be very much lower for a long time. I mean, you have to remember that at this point in time, Leon Draisaitl is 23 years old and already has put up a 100-point season with 50 goals. So even if this is his ceiling, I mean, that's a hell of a ceiling, is it not?
Unsustainable.
They're so young.
I don't know. He has a knack for the net. You know, often compared to, or compared as rather, the German Joe Pavelski. So take that and spin it however you feel. But I mean, if you're Edmonton, even though things are awful and things are really awful, you know, if you're insert general manager here, whoever the hell they decide to hire, you're already so far back. In terms of where you should be, I think trading either 97 or 29, I think you would be setting yourself even further back. And that's not what you want to do when you're trying to keep season tickets in the building and keep, you know, luxury suite holders in the building and keeping fans in general. And I'm not of the mindset that you need to acquire all these players to give Connor and Leon, you know, a team to play with. I think you need to just go for the slow burn and let everything mature at the same time.
I totally see where you're coming from, but then again, I also consider it's like this is a team that's what gone to the playoffs once in their last 13 seasons, and it makes me wonder. I mean, let's be honest, the Oilers fan base, God love them, they've typically they've shown an amazing amount of patience so far.
Well, and that's the tough thing though about the Oilers, as bad as their playoff streak the last, you know, you said 12 of 13 years, you know, how like they've had multiple head coaches, multiple GMs, multiple waves of players coming through. I mean, it's just one of those things where you can't really point at one singular object and say, that's why we're bad. You know, it's just sort of, I mean, I guess you could look at the owner and say, you hired a crappy CEO, but I mean, where do you go?
To the golf course now. Just saying. We'll move on to Colorado, the final game for the Sharks. Fan appreciation night. The Sharks pick up a 5-2 victory versus Colorado, who really had nothing to play for, which I was kind of bummed out because Dallas won earlier. However, the Sharks would snap the Avalanche 10-game point streak. I would have liked to have seen Colorado make it up into the first wild card, but oh well. Coach DeBoer gets his 400th NHL win, and after missing over a month of hockey, we finally see the return of EK65, and here's Erik Karlsson talking about figuring things out before the postseason begins.
You know, it's nice to be out there today and be in some situations and figure some things out, so, you know, I'm pleased about that. Didn't go too hard today, didn't want to risk anything, and, you know, going to be ready to go full out on Wednesday and, you know, hopefully pick it up where I left off.
I look forward to the day where he goes hard. But anyway, yeah. I mean, can you really get too excited about that victory? Again, like, I'm not trying to put out the fire. Sharks backed into this. They're like 19-19-1 going into this. Or I'm sorry, 9-9-1. So it's just, or whatever it was. But I'm just so, I don't know. I was excited last season going into the playoffs, and right now, Rocket, I'm beside myself with ambivalence.
Yeah. This team has an identity crisis. They don't have any kind of consistency. You've seen flashes of what they can do as a unit when they're great, you know? But then they go out there and just lay an egg for three games, and then they go back out there and they're gods. Ah! And then they go out there and they're okay, but they win. And then they go out there and they look like they've never skated before. That's just it's so difficult to be excited when you know that there's you don't know what you're gonna get. We don't know. I don't know. How can I be excited about this? It's like a mystery box. And but here's the deal.
Every game is unwrapping a mystery puck for the Sharks.
Well, no, because here's the deal. Okay, so if you have, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of something that there's like a set of. If you have like a lot of something.
Steak knives?
Okay, sure. That's fine. If you have a lot of steak knives, you don't want to get a mystery box from a steak knife company that you already have a lot of steak knives from, because you're going to get duplicate knives. And you're going to be like, well, I have this knife already, and I have this knife already. It's not to get excited about.
All right.
Same deal.
I'm not sure about that, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, no, sure, no, this team is a mystery box full of steak knives.
There you go.
I mean,
for me, it's just I'm so perplexed by the blue line and Martin Jones this season. It's hard for me to get real pumped about this off season until I see more consistency from the defense,
yeah,
and from Jones. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. First, I just want to say, yes, I mean, steak knife, awful. Right. But at the same time, you know, the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat, and you know how much we wanted one of those. So I think we'll have to take the box.
All you're going to get is steak knives.
I mean, let's not, you know, let's not be, you know, smiling and happy go lucky. Let's be real here. Martin Jones has been average his entire tenure with the Sharks. The only reason why it's more noticeable now is, to your point, AJ, the defense has not bailed him out as much as they have the two seasons prior to this one. And obviously, you know, EK hurt multiple times and struggling, and Missy Shimmick, you know, obviously going down, and you know, you've got Heed, Ryan, Vlasic all dealing with stuff. So, you know, it is what it is, and you have to deal with it. But at the same time, like, this, it's not news by any stretch. You know, Martin Jones, it's always been a this or that with Martin Jones, a hot and cold, if you will. Yes and no, in and out, up and down. Katy Perry.
Okay.
Dear
Lord. I mean, the one thing you can at least say for Jones, though, is he has done well in the playoffs with the Sharks.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm hoping that this is one of those, you know, magical, you know, situations where the calendar flips to April and all of a sudden he's like, oh, we got hockey, boys. But
well, didn't Holtby like not have a spectacular season last year, and then the calendar flipped to April and he flipped it on?
It's very true. And I mean, as I always say, regular season doesn't matter. So could we see playoffs being a different thing? Absolutely. But I don't know. I mean, you obviously, you want the defense to be tightened up. And I think that will help hide some of the deficiencies that Martin Jones has. But at the same time, like, if Martin Jones isn't tightened up, then to your point, Rocket, the Sharks aren't going anywhere.
Stick knives.
Keep it tight. All right, you know what time it is. Oh, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, so and this is a good, bad, and ugly week, people. my good. Hey, everybody's on the ice except Shimmick. I mean, at least everybody. I mean, we saw Pavelski miss a stretch. We know about EK65. We even saw Meyer have a bit of a wrist injury and sit out the final game of the season. Coach DeBoer did say he would have started had that been game one last Saturday, but at least everybody's healthy, so there's that. I mean, Rocket, you're good.
My good is Brendan Dillon, and I'll tell you why. Because I do actually have a reason other than him being Brendan Dillon. This season was the first time in his career that he played all 82 games. Last year, he played 81 games because he was suspended for one of them. So he gets my good because he played all season. Good job, Brendan.
All right. What are you taking away from this going into the postseason, Jerk? What's the good?
The Sharks won more than one game in a row.
Yay!
I'll take it. so for the bad, you know, EK65 is quote unquote back, but I worry for how long. And
yeah. Well, how soon till July 1st?
Yo! Hey, now. It's not even that. I just wonder how long. I don't know. I just get a weird feeling about EK65. Like, this guy just, he's insanely talented, but he knows he's insanely talented and he picks his spots on when to turn it on. But somebody else pointed out something in EK's game, and I thought he made a strong point, is that EK65 is not that great on defense. It's that he's fast enough that he can outskate his mistakes. Fair, yeah. Fair assumption.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. You're bad, Rock.
My bad. I'm going to give my bad to.
This isn't three stars. We're just talking overall, overarching themes.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'm going to give it to special teams.
Solid choice. Solid. Jerk.
So my bad for this week is that Jonas Donskoy has still not scored a goal.
I think we have audio about Jonas.
Goodbye.
Oh, no. Wow, dude. Seriously, that gives me flashbacks every single time.
Hey, Donskoy.
Goodbye.
Oh, wow. I mean, you hope that him being up with the big line the last, I want to say, two games of the season, you hope that would have sparked something. But at the same time, this is also a guy who hasn't scored since January the 10th. Funnily enough, against the Vegas Golden Knights, maybe that's a good omen. But, you know, when it rains, it pours, right? So,
right.
Jerk, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is Jonas Donskoy the new Bodker?
Tune in to Final Thoughts. Tune in to Final Thoughts to figure that out.
All right. And then, of course, the ugly for me, it's just stop giving up the first goal, guys. You've done it three games in a row now to head into the playoffs. Stop giving it up. I mean,
give it away.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's no fun when she, you know, falls off the bar still with her ankles in the air. I'm just saying. Just stop giving it up.
Oh, boy.
All right. Yeah. Bring top that.
No. My ugly. My ugly are facts. My ugly are statistics. They are hard, cold numbers, and those numbers are associated with Martin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jerk.
My ugly is that Radim Šimek is still injured.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you got to give me feelings?
Miss you, Šimek.
Hashtag it, people. Miss you, Šimek. So, all right. What are we going to do?
Oh, good for you.
All right. Time for the three stars, not of the week, but of the season.
Okay.
So, Rocket. Is it going to be that obvious? What are we doing?
Are we going 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1?
No. It's just everybody gets one.
Oh,
for this
one?
Your okay. Player for the season.
My player for the season is probably going to be Kevin LeBanc.
I really love that take. I really do.
Thank you. No, I gave it some sincere thought. I really did. He's really starting to get his groove out there when he's like kind of like I told you with the power play.
Yeah.
He's
we gonna start calling him Stella?
Maybe.
Getting his groove back,
you know? But I mean I still think that maybe it has to do with all of the time that he spent in the penalty box serving all the bench miners this whole season that really helped like
game from a different perspective.
Exactly. He got to sit on the other side of the ice and just sit and watch and he just like it clicked for him.
Oh my god.
It might be true. You never know. It
might be true. Hashtag sure.
Oh man. Star of the season. Jeez. All right. Here you go, Rocket. Star of the season is B-Dog Brendan Dillon because bring on where all the many haters. Everything that Brendan Dillon, and I will say this, everything that Brendan Dillon was rightfully criticized for 3 years ago, 1,000 times better. Breaking the puck out of the zone, better. Skating forwards, better. Skating backwards, better. Defensive awareness, better. Choosing the right time to lay into somebody and to let it go by, way better. And I've said it on this podcast many times. Rockets alluded to it as well. Brendan Dillon was the Sharks' best defenseman this year. Emphasis on defense.
That's true. Because Vlasic had a really off year.
Vlasic had a fantastic second half of the season, but you're right. That first half was rough.
Otherwise, he is the defenseman. But
And Brendan Dillon, you know, you can talk about plus minus. You can talk about offensive stats. You can talk about, you know, everything. What is it, AJ, all the way to Sunday? But you can't deny the fact that consistently across an 82-game season, he was the defenseman with the least amount of ebbs in terms of ebbs and flows or whichever the bad one is. And just his game, generally speaking, is 1,000 times better.
And speaking of flows, I'm going with Sorensen. No, I'm kidding. I was just going for the tie-in. I actually, coming into this, I had jotted down Hurdle. And after hearing your choices, I'm taking it a different way. My star for the season, Radim Šimek. Hashtag Missy Šimek. Okay. And The reason being is because he was the one who was able to supplant Paul Martin essentially as the real Wookiee Whisperer. And look at the Sharks' record with Shimmick and without Shimmick. He was the one who just glued everything down. And just, I don't know, he brought structure and just, I don't know, a quiet calm to the blue line, and evidently figured out how to work really well with Burns. So, yeah, Mishy Shimmick, get back soon. You're mine for the season. So, for never, you guys.
Good for you.
Never forget when, in his first NHL game, when Shimmick told Brent Burns what to do on the power play. I'm just saying, it takes a lot to tell Brent Burns what to do. And Shimmick was like, no, pal, stay over there. And it worked.
Take your smelly beard and go over there.
It's antimicrobial beard.
Oh, man. All right. So we're coming up to the playoffs, guys. And if you weren't aware, we got an interview with, oh, my Lord, Sharks VP of Marketing and Digital, Doug Bentz. Spoke to him earlier in the week. The interview, of course, on our YouTube and on all of our podcast platforms. So go check that out. Gave us a little glimpse of what to expect for the 18-19 playoff run. Everything is playoff mode, people. There you go. Everything's neon, and which seems to be the new thing now. Not how, I don't know how that came through. Honestly, the neon thing almost kind of ticks me off a little bit because I feel like it's so Las Vegas neon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's really 90s.
It is. I don't know. But either way, a bunch of things to expect. You can find a lot of stuff on the Sharks social, of course. They're going to be doing playoff parties for both home and away games. One thing that I really liked is that they're putting together this kind of network of bars and restaurants all over the Bay Area that are going to be like kind of like mini watch parties where they're going to be given swag and stuff, whether it's drink coasters or pennants or neon signs or whatever, but the kind of little mini Sharks bars all over the Bay Area. So go check the Sharks website out for that. And there's something else that I wanted to get into, and this, thankfully, Jerky was able to make it today, wasn't stuck with the Winnipeg Wi-Fi. The Barracuda have made some significant, I don't want to say call-ups, they've just gotten some players, Merkley and Chekovic. Is Blichfeld up yet?
Blichfeld is not up yet. I don't really have a reason why, because Portland was eliminated from the playoffs, but hey, maybe he's doing other, you know, 21-year-old things. I'm not too sure.
Just don't go full Godolbin, buddy.
Yes, do not do an Instagram live of you vaping. Anyways, yikes. So yes, Ivan Chekovic, let's talk about him. So he spends the whole season tearing apart the QMJHL. You know, he had, let me see my notes here really quick. He had 105 points in 66 games. That's ridiculous. And off top of my, hey, you know what? Might be. There's still no way to know for sure. Now, he ended up being tied for second in scoring with the QMJHL, tied with Alexis Lafreniere, who will be the number one overall pick in 2020. You can write that down. Tied for second in the queue. And then,
wait, I'm sorry. What was that gentleman's name?
Alexis Lafreniere.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what the, you know, like there was Lose for Hughes and all of those. So I'm just wondering what they're going to come up with that for that draft year. But go ahead.
Better get your speak and spell out. So then he comes over to the Barracuda and scores a goal on his first shot, which is fantastic. And then in his second game with the Barracuda this year, he put up two apples. So 3-2, that goes along with last year with the Barracuda. He had 9 points in 6, so clearly he has a knack for playing in the AHL. Merkley hasn't played a game yet, but he's probably going to get in a game, seeing as the Barracuda have already clinched a playoff spot and have 3 regular season games left. Wouldn't be surprised to see him. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised to see him get a lot of minutes in that situation. Sasha Chmielewski, big fan of his, obviously. Still in the playoffs with the Ottawa 67s. They are, at last check, up 2-0 on somebody in the second round of the playoffs. I don't recall off the top of my head. But yes, up 2-0 last I checked. And Chmielewski only factored in he only had 2 assists in so far in the second round, despite the fact that the 67s won the first 2 games a combined 13-5. So you can color me shocked, but still, yeah. But I don't think we'll see Chmielewski with the Barracuda this season for the sole reason that the 67s look to be a pretty studded team I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about the OHL, but I could see them end up playing for the Memorial Cup. So might be a small chance to see him. And Barracuda in general, you know, they've turned things around from that awful losing streak they were on, you know, what was it, 4 or 6 weeks ago. They are starting to play with some consistency, and they're back to that Barracuda brand of hockey where it seems like every night it's somebody else who's getting things rolling for them in terms of the offense. So, you know, it's encouraging to see, especially if the Sharks lose in the first round, you might still have some hockey to watch in San Jose.
True that, because right now I believe Radil and Middleton, Gambrell, all down the Cuda, yes?
Radil was called back up today, but Middleton and Gambrell are still down there.
All right, well, the Barracuda did clinch its 4th Calder Cup playoff appearance in as many seasons on Saturday. They picked up a 5-4 OT win against the Grand Rapids, and then a 3-2 Colorado loss. But wait a minute, that can't be right. I think I might have mistyped something. Either way, the Barracuda, the only team in the 4-year history of the Pacific Division to reach the playoffs in all 4 seasons. San Jose Barracuda, the opening round opponent, is to be determined, but the Cuda can secure home ice through the first round with a win at San Diego on Wednesday. Why is it that the Barracuda and the Sharks play so often on the same day this year? I don't know. With 3 games to go in the 18-19 regular season, Barracuda trails the top-seeded Bakersfield Condors by just 2 points. And to me, that is pretty damn significant when you consider the run that the Condors made just about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
It was insane. They were kind of running the table, weren't they?
Oh, they were killing it.
That and when you
can... 15 in a row or something?
I don't want to speak out of school here, but I think they got it up to 17.
It was an insane run.
Yeah, and you couple that, too, with how much the Barracuda were losing February and March.
It remains to be seen, but, you know, if anything, I could see, like, Oilers fans going, so you ever thought about taking a trip to Bakersfield?
Oilers fans want to see if they can change the waivers rules in the next CBA so they can just switch the Condors and the Oilers, switch a lead.
No doubt.
That'd be really funny if the Condors had, like, the strongest away travel fan faction out of any other in the league, and it's just a bunch of disenfranchised Oilers fans.
That would be great. Okay. Let's get into some other stuff here. Time to wrap it around, reach it around. It's all good. Round the horn, baby. Coach Q to Florida? That's a speculation.
Nope, it's official.
It is official. I kept on seeing different reports from different areas, so it is official. All right. The thing that I want to talk about is the fact that once that happened, Logan Couture, and for those of you who don't know, hockey jerk, massive Couture fan, Logan Couture tweeted out, like,
go ahead. I thought you were going to say, for those of you who don't know, Logan Couture plays for the Sharks.
For all of you people on the East Coast.
I was going to say, I mean, if you're part of the local media, you probably do need that refresher.
Yeah. Oh, it got super sheeny. No, Logan said something like,
I want Boogie back.
They said, lol, yeah, it was all his fault. Bring him back to San Jose. And he tagged at San Jose Sharks.
So, obviously, that's a huge endorsement for Boogie, but what does that also say about the current staff?
I don't think it says anything about the current staff. I think it's just, I think it says more about Logan's support for Boogie and how, like, he doesn't think that Boogie's firing was because he was a bad coach.
No. Jerk. Yeah. I mean, how bad do you want Boogie back?
I mean, you could argue that while Bob Bugner was on the Sharks bench, the defensive side of the game was the best it had ever been. That said, I think, you know, considering the hand they were dealt, I think the Sharks coaching staff has done a fair job at that. I mean,
how are you spelling that?
I don't want to get into it. I mean, I don't know. I would love Boogie back. I think it would be great. But at the same time, I still think this, I mean, you think about it, you know, this is only Rob Zettler's second season back. And dang, I cannot remember the other gentleman's name off the top of my head, but this is only his first. Yes, Dave Barr. This is only his first season with the team. So they're still, you know, trying to figure some things out. And I think you have to allow there to be some kind of grace period in that respect. Now, if we're having this conversation this time next year, ask me again. But
yeah,
I don't know. Boogie's great, but I still think the coaches the Sharks have are fine. And, you know, Q in Florida, I mean, when you consider the speculated moves that they'll be making on July 1, it's not not a surprise to see a guy like Q would want to go coach the Florida Panthers. But even if those speculated moves don't come to fruition, I still think Florida probably should be a playoff team and probably should have been the last 2 years. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team, and I think Q sees that. I don't think he's looking for a cup right off the hop. You know, I think he wants to take on that team where, like I talked about earlier, maturing together, where, you know, you bring the coach in and you bring in the players who are on the cusp, but not quite there, and you come together and you win together. And I think it will make it make the connection even deeper. So I like the move.
See, I'm going to say that you're both wrong. I'm going to say that Coach Q looked at the weather index for Edmonton in January and looked at it in Florida for January and thought, you know, the idea of getting off a plane when it's 72 degrees in January versus minus 13, that sounds more appealing to me when I'm on the back nine of the career. And yeah, maybe I'll just go there. But, you know, how do you make a tissue dance? Put a little boogie into it.
Oh, wow.
Q also more or less guaranteed that they would make the playoffs next year. So we'll see.
Mm. That's a bold statement.
So we're talking about musical chairs in the coaching world.
Next.
See, T-Mac, former Sharks coach Todd McClellan. We're hearing reports of L.A. We're hearing reports of him taking a meeting in Buffalo.
He went to Buffalo.
Buffalo. It makes me wonder, considering that taking the gig in LA would be, I'm not saying it's a middle finger to the Sharks, because I mean, he was with Edmonton, they play in the same division, you know what I mean? Now granted, is LA the vaunted hated rival of the Sharks? Yeah, but we've seen this play before with Daryl Sutter.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of a case of, I think Todd McClellan is assessing talent, whether it's Jack Eichel, or maybe he sees that, you know, they're not too far away. They need some differences here and there. Maybe it's also a case of more that, dude, LA, the comments coming out of LA after shutting everything down, whether it's from Doughty, whether it's from Tyler Toffoli, Dustin Brown. I mean, dude, LA, we saw the implosion start earlier, but holy hell, it's like someone is like taking the nuclear option and detonated it.
Feels like it. Scorched earth policy.
Big time.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Burn it down, people.
For those of you farmhands who follow us, slash and burn. Yeah. I mean, now don't come outside the Jerk studio with your pitchforks and your torches, but LA Kings, they should probably be a better team than I think they are. I mean, there's as many deficiencies as they do have, there's still quite a bit of talent on that team. I mean, you talked about Drew Doughty. You talked about Tyler Toffoli, who's kind of slipped a little bit, but I still like. And then obviously Andre Kopitar as well. And I think a lot of this stems from, you know, Dean Lombardi trying to, you know, trying to keep the good times rolling. And, you know, giving away prospects for rentals that didn't help them. And, you know, now
Ilya Kovalchuk too.
Yeah, I thought he did fine. The fact that he was playing nine minutes a night, I think his stats were just what we all expected.
Didn't he get scratched a few times? Healthy scratched?
Yeah, that's because Willie DeJardin is a moron. But anyways, Rob Blake has a lot of work to do, and I like the work he's done so far. I think obviously there's still more to be done, but yeah, I'm not surprised Drew Doughty feels this way, and same thing with Tyler Toffoli and Dustin Brown as well, because LA probably should be a better team, and you know, as good as they are at the top, they are pitiful at the bottom. And you know, I think a lot of that, you know, stems from the decision in their coach as well with Willie DeJardin. I mean, I don't understand a month into the season hiring an interim coach. Like, you should have just hired your new coach right there or kept the guy you had. I mean, I don't know how it would have been any better or worse.
Well, and they started behind the eight ball, it felt like, too. Just, yeah. I mean, and Jonathan Quick not having his best season. And the cap behind him, who's the cap behind him who's actually done well this season?
That would be, well, who hasn't it been? Clifford.
It hasn't been Peter Budaj.
It was Peter Budaj for like a hot second. Peter Budaj had three starts and did not look well.
Over the last month or so.
Well, last month or so, Jonathan Quick. But I mean, you know, Jack Campbell with 31 starts and Cal Peterson, who was probably their best goalie this year, you know, they saw the net quite a bit too, just because of injury and whatnot. So I think to your point, AJ, if they got consistent goaltending, I think this might be a different story.
As the Chi-Chi train comes a-tolling in. All right, we covered Q to Florida. You know, T-Mac, who knows where he ends up? My money is on Buffalo.
I feel bad for Sabres fans, dude. If that's what's going on, I feel bad for Sabres fans.
Oh, I would like to put it out on the airwaves, too. Marco Sturm is the guy in L.A. So when that happens, you can tweet me.
Yeah, now that's going to be the one that, like, Sharks fans are going to be like, oh, that hurts. But Buffalo, maybe T-Mac just really likes, you know, 900 number or whatever.
Well, T-Mac's, I believe his oldest son also goes to school in that area. So,
see, there you go. And after all this time in Buffalo, he's used to in Edmonton, he's used to the temperatures. So, all right.
Well, and depending on how things go, he's also pretty used to losing as well.
Oh man.
Goodbye.
I'm kind of a fan of Jack Eichel, so I feel a little bit bad about that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. So finally, kids, where's your playoff brackets at? Chi-Chi train isn't coming through. If, you say playoff brackets, and here comes Chi-Chi. Get out the way.
Team's gonna beat you guys. Chi-Chi.
That's right. Bring it in. So where's your brackets at? And there's a little part of me that kind of worries that, is this gonna be 2004 all over again? I don't know.
2004, I mean, with hindsight, that was a hell of a Stanley Cup final, but if you recall, the Sharks did lose in the Western Conference final.
Exactly.
I hope not. I hope this year is 2019 where the Sharks win the Stanley Cup. And despite a lot of self-doubt, I do have the Sharks winning the Stanley Cup in my bracket. Why, I'm not sure, but
I was going to say, you of massive faith, my friend.
I have a friend who says that the reason why the Sharks are going to win the cup this year is because he's moving out of the area. And he says it makes absolutely no other sense, but he feels it very strongly. So,
all right, well, let's get into this, like, you know, like a hot quiz type of a thing. In the East, Tampa, Columbus. You're picking how many games, Ruck?
Tampa in three, bud.
Yeah. Jerk?
Tampa in six.
Really? That many? See, I'm going Columbus. I'm going Tampa in five.
Columbus is a good team. Let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Tampa's really good. That's nice. Yeah. I think it's far enough removed from Tortorella being in Tampa, but still, I don't know. I feel like Tampa's just rolling right now, and so I'm going to go Tampa in five. Boston and Toronto, Rock? Do it in the right accent.
God.
Either go sorry or
no.
Sigh.
No, it's the Bruins. It's the Bruins in seven.
Oh, I don't know that's going to take that much.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Well, as much as I hate to do this, it's going to be Boston Bruins in six.
Yep. I got the same thing.
Because
all right.
For the sole reason that I love watching the Toronto Maple Leafs lose.
Yeah.
See, I'll be rooting for Toronto because I'm just not a Boston fan. I think Marchand is a piece of crap. But
I'm not a fan of Boston either. But this has nothing to do with them. It's more about watching the Leafs lose.
Absolutely, and I'll be the first to tell you, I think the Boston Bruins deserve zero good things ever, but they're just better than Toronto.
Yep. So we move over to the other side of this with the Stanley Cup defending champs, the Capitals versus the Canes. Rocket.
Hurricanes in five.
Holy crap. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's man. Okay. I'm taking the Canes in this one as well. I think that storm surge thing has kind of solidified this group. It's given them something to rally behind. They played really well down the stretch. And Washington, I think after getting the monkey off their back last year, I think they're just kind of, you know, I mean, Ovechkin is just now getting over his hangover from last summer. I mean, that was an awful lot of booze. And I don't care how Russian he is, you know, the vodka's going to take a toll. So, but I'll take Carolina in seven. Jerk.
Washington in six. I think Carolina will give them a scare, but I still think Washington has something to say about defending their championship.
That's fair.
I'm still... Stop.
What?
Oh, every time either one of you, but particularly the Jerks, uses the word fair, all I see is F-E-H-R. But anyway.
And you're taking it out on us?
Yeah, I'm taking it out on you.
Leave Rocket alone.
Leave Rocket alone. Islanders and Penguins. I am so rooting for the Isles in this one because I hate the Penguins. So give me the Islanders. Again, this is another team that Tavares being gone and they've been more successful. And I think that is something that has solidified that team. I'm going to take, you know what, in Grice, that tandem and goal. Give me the Isle in six.
Penguins in five.
Ooh, okay. Jerk.
See, I'm inclined to go with the Penguins on this one just because I feel in terms of star. Penguins, man. No, because in terms of star power, I think they're the better team. But to your point, AJ, Robin Lehner has been awesome this season, which is good when you consider, you know, some of the stuff that he went through last summer. So to see that is obviously awesome. And then, you know,
Grace has been no shrinking violet.
Oh, absolutely not. They probably the whole we have two number one goalies, 1A, 1B. Crap that every bad team tries to sell you on.
It's actually true on the island.
It actually works, yes. And, you know, you still have Matt Barzell there, could have had Anders Lee. Anders Lee's had a good season. Josh Bailey's had a good season. Beauvillier's had a good season. They've got a lot of good scores there, and they've been very tightened up, and not a lot has been able to rattle them this year. And I think, too, you look at the Penguins, I think Matt Murray has not had the season he would like to have this year. And I think that might be something that still is a factor in the playoffs.
All right. Let's move over to the West. Nashville versus Dallas. You know what? I'm going to start with Rock just because of the history.
It's going to be, wait.
She's like, Dallas in one.
No. It's Dallas. Wait, in seven, in overtime.
Ooh.
All right. Just because that really crushed it. Man, the amount of Pabst Blue Rip between Dallas and Nashville, man, there's a lot of good old boys down there wondering where the race card is.
Jerk, what are you taking on this one?
Dude, freaking Keystone Light is going to be getting a lot of business.
That's true.
Nashville, same thing as Washington, Carolina. I think Dallas will give Nashville a scare, maybe win two games, but I still think Nashville takes this in six. For the first time in a while, I don't think there's a bad, air quotes, bad or easy team in the playoffs this year. So I'm saying
There's not please. An easy team in the play. Can we? Did we not just talk about Toronto?
Yeah.
please at me. Please at me.
All right. For that one, I see. I think that one is going seven. I do think Nashville will win out, but I you're hearing it here first. I think the Dallas Stars netminders are going to have a lot to say in this game. Whoever,
I like how you said netminders.
Netminders.
Yeah, because it wouldn't surprise me if something happened and they got a bit, you know, there's a storyline there, folks. Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Bishop has played really well this season, but again, to your point, he seems to like to get injured in April. So It's really anybody's guess.
Somebody, see, we need to replace some people's calendars, I think is what the point of this whole show has been.
I mean, a 934 save percentage, that's pretty good.
Might be good.
That's a lot better than others.
Right? Jets versus... here we go. Jets versus Blues. I'm taking the Blues in this one. And I might be going Blues in six on this. You know what? I think the Jets have kind of flamed out, so to speak. The Jets have cooled off. And St. Louis, since being in the basement in January and crawling out of it and Winnington in the pipes, just what a great story. And I don't think the NHL world is ready for that to end. So I'm going Blues. Because think about it. The Blues basically came a win away from winning this whole division, despite being in the basement just a couple of months ago. So, give me the Blues. Rock?
I think, this is the one matchup, I think, in the initial meeting of the Stanley Cup playoffs of this year where I'm genuinely disappointed that one of these teams has to lose.
Yeah.
Because, like, I really like the style of hockey that both of these guys play. I enjoy the Blues because they're nasty and they're physical, but they're fast at heart. And they also have, what's that guy that ran his truck into a donut shop?
Ryan O'Reilly.
I'm sorry, that Ryan O'Reilly kid. He's really good this year.
I love Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah. Not sponsored by Tim Hortons. But so, like, I like his game and, like, what he's done with the Blues this year. They're doing dope things. And then up in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Whiteout, they're just smacking people around left and right. So it could go either way, man. So I want to say Winnipeg. Winnipeg in six.
Jerk.
Now, I hate St. Louis as much as I hate Boston, but... This series is my upset series. I think it's going to be the Blues in seven. I mean, to your point, AJ.
How much of an upset, though, is it when the Blues only finish with 2 points less?
It's an upset in the sense that a lot of people tabbed the Jets to win the Stanley Cup this year.
And they're going to be upset.
All right. Yeah, this one's for you.
Okay. There it is. I mean, you look at the Blues and they've had Winnington in net, who's been fantastic. But the top line, their newly created top line, right when they started winning a bunch of games, I mean, it's been one of the best lines in the league in the second half of the season. And same thing as the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, you look at Winnipeg, Connor Hellebuck has not had the year he wanted to have. And, you know, too many of their guys, you know, whether it's Nikolai Ehlers or whether it's Patrick Laine or even Kyle Connor, all of them at some point this season experienced a slump. And I don't think not one person on the Blues, except for Ryan O'Reilly, is, you know, setting the world on fire with their play. But I think as a cohesive unit, I think they have the ability to upset the Jets.
And Tarasenko will have the game winner.
Hey, could be.
Hashtag foreseen. So, all right. So you said you're going Blues. I'm going Blues. Rockets, Bruins, Jets in this one.
Yeah.
We go with Colorado versus Calgary. Go ahead, Rockin.
Calgary in four.
Yeah. Jerk.
Calgary in six, because Colorado was one of the hottest teams towards the end of the regular season, all without Mikko Rantanen and Gabriel Landeskog. So it makes you think, how well are those guys going to play once they are healthy? Remains to be seen, obviously. Same thing. Philip Grubauer has been one of the best goalies in the NHL in April and March as well. And he's going to be the starter for the Avalanche to at least to start the playoffs. And I think he'll be able to steal, you know, steal some games for them. And obviously if University of Massachusetts loses, they'll get Cale Makar as well. But in spite of all of that, I still think Calgary's going to win. I just don't think it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a sweep either. I'm leaning towards Calgary in six, but I'm hoping for Colorado in seven. Because I go back to what you were saying is if Grubauer can steal one in Calgary, especially if it's game one, you know, all of a sudden tables turn just a scotch. So either way. And finally, the series that we all really care about. Because it's funny, which one of you said it where you were just like, oh, it was Rocket that said the thing with the Jets and the Blues. Like, this is the one I really don't want, you know.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, I'm really not rooting for winners so much as I'm rooting for teams to lose. Like, I'm rooting for Tampa to lose, Boston to lose, Washington to lose, Pittsburgh to lose, Nashville to lose. And then, like you said, yeah, I really don't have much of a dog in the fight when it comes to Winnipeg or St. Louis. I mean, you can sit there as a Sharks fan and point to the past playoff series, but, you know, Chris Pronger, that happened almost 20 years ago, so it's hard to get, you know, too, you know, bat nuts about that.
Big and then defenseman.com.
And then Calgary Avs, yeah, I'm rooting for Calgary to lose, so it makes the path for the Sharks easier. So, Sharks, Golden Knights, Rocket. How do you think this? Are you able to take the teal tinted glasses off and call this?
Here's the thing: is I don't know if the other way around. I don't know if I could put the teal tinted glasses on and call this.
Ooh,
you've piqued Jerk's curiosity.
Yeah,
because like it's good phrasing.
You know what I'm saying? Like I want to believe in this team, and when they're amazing, they're great, but they're so inconsistent that it's like, I don't know what I'm going to get. If I'm going to get, so if the teal tinted glasses are on, I'm going to say Sharks lose the first two games, but then they win the next four.
Oh, that's so not Sharks.
So it would be what? Six. Sharks and six. But you take them off and you look at everything objectively, I'm pretty sure it's Vegas in five.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think I can go that deep. Jerk.
Took them off and threw them on the ground.
Jesus.
How you doing this, Jerk?
Man. Vegas.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. The San Jose Sharks in seven games. Now, the Sharks are probably going to go down 3-0, but then they're going to – no, I'm just kidding. No, I truly think Sharks in seven. I think I still stand to this day. Yes, the first two lines for the Golden Knights are deadly, 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 deadly. Their entire second line they did not have a year ago, and it's a hell of a second line. And I think their defensive core as a unit is a very good unit, and they spread the minutes all around nicely. But got to remember, Marc-Andre Fleury – has coming off a season where he was worked very hard. He's also coming off an injury. So I'm not saying that he's going to be the Marc-Andre Fleury from 2010 to 2015, but here's hoping. And I still think top to bottom, the Sharks forward depth is much better than Vegas's. And I think the key to this series, the Taco Bell take, if you will, is if Martin Jones can be average, and if the Sharks goal scorers can get pucks past Marc-Andre Fleury. I think that's really all that it'll take.
Oh, boy. I keep going back and forth with this. There's like part of me that says Golden Knights in six, like it was a year ago. And there's a part of me that says Sharks in seven, and home ice plays a big part in that. at all. The wild card is just Martin Jones. What the hell is going to happen? The other wild card for me is Peter DeBoer. Is it more important to start Joakim Ryan simply because of what side he shoots on? We've seen Ryan have an awful season this year. A few games back, Sharks gave up four just huge breakaways, and Joakim Ryan was responsible directly for two of them. And I would rather see Tim Heed in that position. I don't care if he doesn't shoot from the correct side, have righty-lefty balance. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm going Sharks in seven, but I'm telling you, I'm not putting money on it. You know what I mean? Not putting money on it. Mm. That's what I'm rooting for. But now, conversely, I think if the Sharks get past the first round, I do really think that that could bring cohesion and, like, you know, just complete, like, okay, this was the big nemesis, because we know this is going to be a heavy series. But the other X factor I think you have to take into account too is how long does he let Haley go instead of having a more offensively minded line? You know, because I think it's pretty obvious. Isn't Donskoy going to be watching this from the press box?
I don't know.
Well, according to practice today, yes, but we also have tomorrow, and we also have Wednesday the 10th as well to figure it out. And we've seen things like that before where, you know, we all thought Tim Heed was going to play in Fan Appreciation Night, and then, oh, LOL, he was scratched at the last second. So you never know. But no, I did like what you brought up, AJ, about beating Vegas as being a huge galvanizing thing for the team. I mean, do you remember when they beat LA in 2016, how big of a deal that was?
Oh, dude, that completely, all from that moment up to the Black Cat, boy, it was just, yeah, galvanizing all up in here. All right.
That cat.
That cat. Joe Pavelski. So that's it, kids. Thanks so much for tuning into all the shows that we've done this season. Once again, we spoke with Sharks VP of digital, of marketing and digital, Doug Bentz. What to expect for the playoffs. You can go check that out on our audio streams or on YouTube. We also plan on talking to Brody Brazil between now and the beginning of the first round, so be on the lookout for that. And of course, once we go into playoff mode, that means no longer is the show weekly. It now goes to series-wise. So the next time you'll expect to hear from us is after round one is wrapped up. And when I say round one, if the Sharks beat the Knights in four games, we are still not doing a show until round one is completed, okay? Because there's going to be lots to talk about. So you can expect that after the first round. So essentially, we're off next week is what I'm saying. So, Jerk, your final thoughts on where the people can find you on the social media channels.
So final thoughts. The Sharks were able to get things a little bit back on track with their final two games of the regular season. But that said, there's still a lot of work to be put in, especially because this Golden Knights team it's a team that can jump at you out of nowhere. They have that wow factor, as I punch my desk. They have that wow factor that can catch you off guard. And if you're not ready for it, then you're going to be losing the series in four games. But that said, I still think the Sharks have very good chances to beat the Golden Knights if they can follow the Hockey Jerk Taco Bell takes. And if you found the Taco Bell takes presented by Hockey Jerk to be insightful and you want more of it, you can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. We're going to be taken all over the place and no take will be left behind.
Is the subscription rate to your Twitter, does that increase during the playoffs or remain the same?
Actually, we're having a playoff special right now. You can reply, retweet, and like for only $2.99 a series.
Oh, wow. That's a bargain.
Rocket.
Wow, my final thoughts. Man, it's been a rough year, not only for the Sharks, but, well, for me, I wouldn't say rough, but it's been eventful. I moved. I got a new job. My whole life changed. And this team's giving me white hairs. Like some over there. Every time they miss the net, every time it's off the post, I get another white hair. That's my final thought, man. I just go Sharks. You can find me hanging out on Twitter, capital R, capital B, little backhander 76. That's R, backhander 76. I tweet about hockey, drag queens, weather, cats, food, random things.
And 16x20 photos of Brendan Dillon.
I own a Dillon! you can check me out on Instagram, too, and look at these cool pictures of the Brendan Dillon signed autographed. Same thing. Autographed, framed, matted poster. No, a photograph that I got of our boy, Brendan. Yeah. So on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word.
And I am AJ underscore strong on all the little social media platforms. Again, do us a favor. Subscribe to us, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, whatever one you like. That'll work. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. Again, thank you for listening. We will catch you after round one is completed. And with that,
goodbye.